Do you know what the two types of filling of the Holy Spirit are? Well, that's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. I'm really glad you've decided to join us. We're currently doing a series called Great Bible Doctrines as we're going through systematic theology concepts. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to walk us through this interesting topic, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome back to Grace in Focus. We're going through a series on the great doctrines of the Bible in anticipation of a book that we'll be publishing in the next few months. Also, in preparation for our national conference on this topic, going over the great doctrines of the Bible from a free grace, conservative, dispensational perspective. And you are welcome to come to that conference. First-timers are free if you can't afford it. There's a scholarship option when you register at our website, faithalone.org. But otherwise, it's about, what is it, about $80?
$85
to attend. It's 4 days or two full days, two half days. Great time of fellowship, encouragement, and you are very welcome to come. So we're studying pneumatology right now. What is pneumatology, Bob?
Well, pneumatology is the study of the Holy Spirit. The Greek word for spirit is pneuma, and so it's the study of the Holy Spirit.
And we've done several episodes already on the Holy Spirit. Right now, we're in the subject of being filled with the Spirit.
Right. Now, when I was on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ between 1974 and 1978, we had a booklet called How to Be Filled with the Holy Spirit. We called it the Blue Booklet or the Bird Booklet because it had a picture of a dove on the front. We would share with people that in order to be filled with the Spirit, you would confess your sins, and then you would ask God, the Holy Spirit, to take control of your life. And we called this spiritual breathing. You would exhale, I'm confessing my sins. You would inhale, Lord, I'm asking you to take control of my life.
And that's a little weird.
It was,
isn't it?
It was a little weird.
That strikes me as a little weird.
And we told people you should do this throughout the day. Confess your sins, ask to be filled. Confess your sins, ask to be filled. What struck me as weird about it was this. If the Holy Spirit took control, then why did I ever sin again?
Right.
If I could pray a prayer and say, Holy Spirit, please take control of my life, and he did, well, then I'd be done sinning.
Right.
It'd be over. I didn't share that booklet much during the 4 years I was on staff because it didn't make a lot of sense to me. Now, still, I really didn't know what the filling of the Spirit was. And when I got to Dallas Seminary, I started studying the filling of the Spirit. And I found out, especially if we look at the book of Acts, which is probably the place to go for the filling of the Spirit because it talks about it on multiple occasions, there's actually two different types of filling of the Spirit.
All right, so there's two fillings of the Spirit.
Right. Now, neither one is what I just described. Neither one is the Holy Spirit takes complete control of my life and suddenly I'm sinless until the next time I sin. One of the two ways is special enablement for a special task. And you'll see this in the book of Acts. There are a lot of examples, and we'll look at some of them in a minute. The second example, filling of the Spirit, is shorthand for being spiritually mature.
All right.
So if it says so-and-so was full of wisdom and full of the Holy Spirit, it means he was wise and he was spiritually mature.
Okay.
If someone was full of faith in the Holy Spirit, it means they were faithful or they were believing much of what God said, and they were spiritually mature. That's the second kind. And we can look at examples of both in the book of Acts.
All right. So let's go to that first kind of being filled with the Spirit, and this is the enablement. It's an empowerment for a certain task. You have an example here from Acts 4:8, and it says this, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole.'" So it's that first part. Peter is filled with the Spirit, and then he's able to give this sermon.
And he gives the sermon boldly. Now, this all seems to be impromptu. In other words, it's not like he prepared a message, was delivering the message, and he was filled with the Spirit to do it with boldness.
Right.
I believe that occurs today. However, this seems to be impromptu.
And there's no technique. He doesn't stop and try to perform a
technique.
He's
not exhaling and inhaling. Right. He's not saying, Holy Spirit, take control of my life. Simply the Spirit empowers him
right.
with special boldness and also evidently fluency to where he's able to say this in such a way that is particularly convicting.
I was reading recently about a guy who was describing the difference between mystical religion and prophetic religion. And in mystical religion, you have certain techniques, certain breathing things, certain things that you do in order to, and you contemplate on something and you try to like empty your mind and you try to bring yourself into this mystical experience.
Right.
And he said that's one thing. And he said prophetic religion is that God acts and you either just respond or not.
That's exactly right. And here, God just acted.
Right.
God filled him with the Holy Spirit, and he spoke with boldness. And there's several other examples.
Acts 4:31, it says, "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness."
So the filling of the Spirit is associated again with speaking,
mm-hmm.
and speaking boldly, which is what Peter did earlier in Acts chapter 4. Now they're speaking boldly, and these are after being threatened by the Jewish leadership, etc., yet they're filled with the Spirit, and they speak with boldness. Now, some people don't think this occurs today. I do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think we can say in advance, I know this is going to happen when I preach this Sunday in Mineola, Texas.
Right.
But I will say I've looked back at times when I've preached, and I've thought there was a special measure of boldness, power, fluency, just connecting with the audience seems special.
And I think a lot of preachers, I think they've experienced that. You know, it's
right.
like you just feel like something's different. The words are coming more smoothly. People are being affected. They're really listening, and it's just, it's working. But it's not you, because you've had tons of bad days. You know,
right.
you've had tons of dry
right.
days, and you just know whatever the difference is, the preparation was the same, and the message is the same, and the technique's the same. But somehow, something's different.
Right. So there are times when I look back on it, and I think, that was probably special enablement from the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
Now, I'm not going to say with absolute certainty that was the case, because I don't have any special revelation that that's true.
Right.
But I think at the judgment seat of Christ, I'm going to find out there have been lots of times in my life when the Holy Spirit enabled me in a special way.
Another example is in the end of the life of Stephen, when he
right.
gives this powerful and very provocative speech right before he's martyred to the religious leaders.
In Acts 7.
In Acts 7. And it says, when they heard these things, this is the religious leaders, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, meaning Stephen, mm-hmm. being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. In this whole speech, I guess the impression is, as he was speaking, that was Spirit-filled speech.
Right. This is not the Holy Spirit taking control of him so that he has no control of his tongue. What it means is the Spirit empowered and enabled him.
Mm-hmm.
It was special enablement for this special task. Now, of course, in this case, he died right after this. But he also has one of the two recorded incidents of seeing Jesus after
right.
his ascension.
Right.
He
right.
sees him sitting at the right hand of the Father.
And by the way, maybe we should say something about this is different from the Spirit's indwelling. Every believer has the Spirit's indwelling.
Right. And it's also different than baptizing, although in some circles they're going to confuse that. But the indwelling and baptizing occur at the same time as regeneration and sealing. That's the ribs message we talked about the
right.
other day. All four of those occur at the moment of faith.
Right.
And the indwelling continues forever.
Because Stephen, obviously, and Peter, obviously, Peter was indwelt at Pentecost.
Right.
And so this filling of the Spirit that happens later is not that initial indwelling.
No, it's a subsequent.
It is a subsequent empowerment.
Right.
All right, so now the second type of filling. So the first type of filling is, as we were saying, enablement for special tasks. The second type of filling of the Spirit, you said it referenced people who are spiritually mature.
That's basically all it is. Like Acts 6:3 is a good example, also Acts 6:5. Remember they picked those first seven deacons to wait on tables?
Right, and Stephen was one of those guys. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom.
Okay, once you have the and, that's chi in Greek, connecting them,
right.
that's a good clue. What does it mean to be full of wisdom? Does that mean that Sophia, wisdom, overpowered them and suddenly wisdom was controlling their lives? No.
Mm-hmm.
It means they were wise men. They were skilled at living.
Right.
So what does full of the Holy Spirit mean? It means they were spiritual men,
mm.
probably with a capital S, that the Holy Spirit was directing them to obey Christ, to follow Christ. That's what they were seeking, spiritually mature, wise men. And then in verse 5 of chapter 6, we're told about Stephen.
And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit.
Full of faith doesn't mean faith overpowered him. It means he was either full of faithfulness, that is, he was a faithful person, or he was full of believing, that he was believing all that God said, and that he was full of the Holy Spirit, meaning he was spiritual and he was faithful.
Right.
And so both of these verses basically refer to being mature.
Acts 13:52 is another example. Paul and Barnabas get kicked out of a city. Verse 51 says in Acts 13, "But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit."
That's interesting, because full of joy doesn't mean joy overpowered them or controlled them. It means they were joyful.
Right.
And filled with the Holy Spirit, same thing. They were spiritual. They were spiritually mature.
What's interesting here is being filled with the Spirit is paired with certain things. It's
right.
Paired with wisdom. It's paired with joy. It's paired with faith.
Right.
Those are fruits of the Spirit, or what are they?
Well, it seems to me they're all things which are concomitant, if that's the right word, with being spiritually mature.
Right.
You're joyful. You're faithful, you're a person who is spiritual and wise. In the book of Acts, we see there's two types of filling of the Spirit, neither of which is absolute control. One of them means special enablement for special tasks, and that definitely happens today. God can empower you for special tasks. Secondly, to be filled with the Spirit means you're simply a spiritually mature person, and that's certainly the case today as well. So yes, be filled with the Spirit, but don't look for the Spirit to overpower you and take over. Instead, look for the Spirit to enable you and to make you a spiritually mature person.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. I know that that helps clear up some pretty important misconceptions. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. At faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine. You can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Maybe you'd like to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All financial gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated, because that's how we stay on the air. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner, you can do that also at faithalone.org. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow in the program, we're going to discuss some of the other ministries of the Holy Spirit, so you're going to want to tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.